I was not aware that the executive committee was governed by the consensus of the board, that it was consideration. If that's a ruling, then I think that we should be made aware of.
Mr. Chairman, may I just address that briefly?
I'm sorry, Trustee Montgomery. I don't want to split hairs, but the executive committee's action is not governed by the consensus of the board. I think what I hear Trustee Schmidt saying, just to add clarity, is that he, in his opinion, the action by the committee was inconsistent with the consensus of the board. But as a legal matter, I was consulted about the executive committee's meeting, and under all the circumstances present at the time, given the status of the state budget, et cetera, I felt that an emergency meeting of the executive committee was absolutely appropriate. But that's not to say that they're bound by any kind of a nose count to the full board.
Trustee Montgomery.
My notion is that we don't need to change the authority of the executive committee, but certainly when we do take a consensus vote, as we did in this instance, then I think the executive committee ought to follow.
I agree.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. There's two issues here. There's the immediate issue of what to do about the vote that was taken, and then there's a broader issue about process and the executive committee vis-a-vis the consensus of the board. And I think there's a general agreement that moving forward, if there is a consensus of the board on a matter that does have to come up emergently, that it would be expected that the executive committee would carry out the will of the entire board and the consensus of the board. Is that our moving forward posture? Are we all in agreement on that? I think that clarifies it. Okay. And at that point, Chairman Shaw, I think we're concluded with the Budget and Audit Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Groves. I understand we have the public comment speaker. I'm sorry. Yes, you had some comment?
I consulted with my experts. Essentially, the bills are already going, you know, for the first semester. So if there is an adjustment, it would be for the second semester, for the bills for the second semester. So that would be the reaction.
But we can't be perceived as raising tuition once we get on the path of a first semester tuition.
Yeah. I think the administration needs to do thorough homework for the board on what the options are to achieve the goal that you want.
I couldn't agree more. I don't know that this is going to be able to be decided sitting around the table right now. So, Walt, if you would hastily try and give us some options and then get that out to us right away, please. Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Can we move on?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Well, I'm told that we have our other public comment speaker, Ms. Jacqueline O'Day. She is here. Jacqueline is presently the president of student government at Urbana campus. Welcome to the board.
Thank you. I apologize for my tardiness. I did get stuck in a little bit of traffic this morning. Just to clarify, I am actually an alumni of the university and a future donor to the university. Everyone listening now? Okay, I just want to briefly talk about two things this morning. One is item 16 on the agenda regarding student fees that are being proposed, and the second is item 17 regarding the transportation fee. I only want to talk about the third item in regards to student fees regarding the Collegiate Readership Program. Many of you might be wondering right now, what is the Collegiate Readership Program and why should we create a $2 student fee to fund it? Well, I did sponsor the student referendum that put this on the ballot for them to vote for in the spring election. And what the program is, it's designed to promote civic engagement and global awareness for students by putting newspapers and media resources in their everyday living, learning, and community areas. Now, it's already on nearly 500 campuses nationwide, including several of our Big Ten counterparts. Through this program, what it would do is it would put kiosks all across campus that students could use to swipe their iCard, open up the kiosk, and get a paper. Now, one thing that's nice is the pass-along rate of the papers is usually about 3 sets of eyes to see it, you know, in a day. And at the end of the day, if there's any papers left in the kiosk, then the company will take them back, and not charge the university the student fees for those papers, which is really nice. There's also a recycling option in which the university can choose to take the papers and recycle them themselves to get money for it, or the company will take it away and they'll recycle it free of charge. So with this program, you know, you can definitely incorporate the papers into the classroom and learning in that regards. And to your surprise, a lot of students are real lazy. I'm going to be honest here. And not everyone's going to go online to look for those, you know, online news articles. Not everyone's as ambitious to go out there and learn what's going on in the world. But when you put the papers in front of students, it's there for them to grab in between a class and to see what's going on. Their friends reading something, and it starts conversations among people, and people really begin to grow and learn more about what's going on in the world. Now, we did do a pilot program, and afterwards we did a survey, and a large number of students said, keep the papers. It's just a $2 fee per semester, and that's cheap. That's cheaper than a gallon of gas these days. Can't beat that. Second item is item 17 today that you'll be voting on in regards to the UAUC transportation fee. The proposal you do have in front of you was never specifically reviewed by students, but I can tell you they did talk about a $50 per semester fee for the transportation fee. If you can get them a better rate, I'm sure tons of parents and families out there will be thrilled. But we were really happy about the new service that could be provided if this fee goes through. The service would provide one-seat rides from various campus locations to downtown Champaign and Urbana. And another great thing it'll do is provide later service on a number of rounds, which will definitely help increase campus safety. You'll have a lot more, you know, sets of eyes out there and ways for students to get home late at night. All in all, unanimously, the Illinois Student Senate MTD Student Advisory Committee was unanimous in regards to moving forward with the high-capacity corridor system. The price, that's all up to you guys. So thank you so much for your time today, and have a great afternoon.
Well, thank you so much. I just want to go on record saying that before Ms. Day's comment, board was reconvened for the public comment after Trustee Chairman Bush's committee meeting. And again, the board will go into the recess to conduct the meeting of Buildings and Ground Committee. And I, as the chair of the Building and Ground Committee, going to request Associate Vice President Michael Bass, who is ready and prepared to start his presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. We're going to do a design presentation on the north addition of the Historic Huff Hall. Today we'll have two presenters. One is Dean Tanya Gallagher of the Applied Health Sciences College at Urbana, and she's going to provide programmatic context to the project. And then Rob Proctor, principal at the design team of Ratio Architects, will proceed with the design presentation. Dean Gallagher.
Thank you and good morning. The College of Applied Health Sciences research, educational, and outreach missions promote health and wellness, healthy aging across the lifespan, healthy communities, and the optimal participation of persons with disabilities. Because its programs are addressing major societal healthcare challenges and are advancing the university's strategic initiatives in health, the College of Applied Health Sciences has experienced significant growth in its educational and research programs over the last 7 years. During this period, the number of program majors has increased from 1,400 students to 2,200, a growth of 57%, and the number of tenure-track faculty has increased by over 50%. Approximately 80% of AHS faculty are serving as principal investigators in externally funded research projects. Grants and contracts expenditures per faculty FTE have more than doubled over that same time frame. This growth has placed considerable strain on the college's physical facilities. An architectural feasibility study by JBA Incorporated, conducted in 2006, estimated the college's space deficit to be 90,000 square feet and recommended the completion of the original design of Huff Hall by adding a north addition. Pressure on the use of college facilities will increase this fall with the addition of a Master in Public Health degree and an interdisciplinary Bachelor of Science in Health degree. When fully enrolled, these programs will add 120 and 400 student majors, respectively. Research activities also continue to grow with the establishment of the endowment-funded Center on Health, Aging, and Disability that is serving as the coordinating center for the campus health and wellness interdisciplinary research initiative. The project will be funded with $3 million from institutional operating funds and $12 million from the sale of certificates of participation. Funding for the North Addition is currently a major component of the college's Brilliant Futures campaign, with 25 individuals under active cultivation for significant gifts. Thank you, and now Mr. Proctor will present the architectural design.
Thank you, Dean Gallagher. Good morning, everyone. Hello, and my name is Rob Proctor. I'm a principal with Ratio Architects, Champaign and Indianapolis-based architectural firm, and I'm also the principal in charge of the Huff Hall North Addition project. I'd like to thank the board for the opportunity to present the design of this most exciting project. Before we elaborate on the building design itself, let's begin the presentation with a few key statistics for you. The Huff Hall North Addition is a 32,850 square foot, three-story structure dedicated to providing collaborative research and instructional spaces for both the Masters of Public Health program as well as the Center for Health, Aging, and Disability. The addition completes the intended massing of the original Charles Platt architecture dating back to 1925. The total project budget is $15 million, and the construction budget is just over $9.8 million, approximately $300 per square foot. The addition is designed to meet ADA accessibility standards, applicable state and federal standards, and UIUC campus building standards. With accessibility in particular, you will hear more details later in the presentation on how a universally accessible walkway is being used to promote the mission of the college within the building planning. The addition is designed to achieve LEED Silver rating as required by university standards, which is a third-party building performance and sustainability rating system developed by the USGBC. The impact of LEED certification on construction and design administration fees adds approximately $300,000 to the project cost. As a benefit, the university will realize a 24.5% reduction above baseline annual energy usage, which equates to a savings of approximately $27,800 at current energy costs. Other benefits resulting from this sustainable strategy include the capture of abundant natural light, the use of products made from recycled materials, the use of materials manufactured within our region, reduced use of potable water, and a more healthful indoor air quality for the students and faculty. These new air handling systems will be equipped with VAV reheat coils and an economizer function to increase the use of outdoor air under favorable conditions. And the new addition will also be equipped with wireless technology as required by university standards. And further, it should be noted that geothermal heating cooling was investigated but deemed not feasible, primarily because the North Addition can be tied directly into the existing campus chilled water and steam lines near the site. Furthermore, our small building site does not provide adequate area for the installation of these geothermal wells. And regarding our schedule, we have completed design development, and the construction documents phase will be complete in September of 2009. We anticipate an October 2009 bid opening. And then based on the approval processes, construction is anticipated to commence in December of 2009, with a duration anticipated to last approximately 14 months. Finally, our contract target for minority participation for design services is approximately 17%. For construction, we anticipate targeting 6% of the contract value for the prime and 4% for assigned contractors. As professional architecture and engineering service providers, the Ratio design team strives to provide exceptional design to minimize change orders. To that end, our QA/QC process in-house is ongoing and includes regular peer reviews with our senior staff. also fundamental to the process of the design or the schematic design and design development reviews that have been held with staff.